Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to be talking about a case study. This is a deal that Jeff just completed, and it's a pre-foreclosure deal in Idaho, I believe, and he got it subject to. Jeff literally had 2 days to close this thing. So he's going to walk us through this deal step by step. And guys, keep in mind, you know, pre-foreclosure deals and subject twos, these are kind of deals that you can get all across the nation in any county there is out there. And pre-foreclosure lists are the easiest lists to find. There's so many websites that just list them for free now. So let's talk about this deal. It's interesting to me in the fact that you got it done so quick, number one, and you're still able to, you know, use creative financing on it via the subject too. So Jeff, how'd you find this deal? Tell us about it. You know, if it's single family, multifamily, that kind of thing.
It is a single family, just under 1,000 square feet, 3 bed, 1 bath, pretty standard house. But it's in an excellent location. It's older. I think it was built in the 50s and near like the university, near downtown. So a desirable area to live in. Nothing, it wasn't special. When I saw a picture of it, I was like, eh. Nothing, you know, super nice looking or anything, but an older desirable area to live in. The way that it came to me was through through one of our apprentices, and they were actually working on it for their kids, so their daughter and son-in-law, and they had been working on this for since the summer. This is where we're now. This occurred at the very end of December, and they were in touch with the seller, who now lived out of state. And this property was listed as for rent, but it had been listed for rent for months and no one had rented it. And they had contacted the property manager and they just really couldn't get a straight answer. And they saw the notice of foreclosure posted on the door.
Yeah. So were they just trying to follow it up as a rental lead? Were they just?
I think what they were hoping is that they wanted to buy it and live in it for a few years and then make it an investment property after.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So what happened was is that obviously the reason that it hadn't been rented is because clearly the property manager knew that he was behind on payments and they didn't want to put a tenant in there if he was going to have problems with the underlying mortgage.
Right.
Long story short, come December, they got a text from the owner saying that he no longer wanted to work with them because this was becoming too complicated and that they could just go buy this property at the auction. And that's when they actually turned it over to me and they said, I don't know if you can do anything with this, but why don't you see what you can do?
And so they notified you 2 days, 3 days before?
We did not know that there was a trustee sale set.
Pending. Okay.
Okay. So what I did is I contacted the seller and worked everything out. And really it was under 10 minutes. And then I realized, I Googled the address. you should always Google the address, right? Sometimes I forget to do that. You should always do that. Yeah, you find things that maybe you find all the surprises that maybe weren't told to you up front. And it took me, I clicked on Zillow. I saw that it was a pre-foreclosure and there was a sale date set. And the sale date was 5 days from that day, but we had a weekend in between. And so I literally had 2 business days to try to make this happen. So I called the seller back. If I would have known this, by the way, I would have negotiated myself a little better deal. And he had no idea that there was a sale date. And it was an odd, you know, when you deal with people in default, they have a phase where they go through denial. And sometimes that denial is upfront for a month or two. And then they start getting back to reality as things start heating up. And certainly once you get a trustee sale and a notice of when you're going to lose this house, typically the denial goes away and now it's like panic mode, right? Uh-huh. Not for him. I'm not really sure what the situation was, but I called him back and I said, look, I just did a little research and I found that there's a trustee sale on Monday. Today is Wednesday. And I said, I don't know if I can make this happen. I am willing to put my time and my effort into fixing this problem, but I will need your help. You're either in or you're out. If you're not committed to this, I don't want to spend my time and my energy trying to make this happen. He's like, no, I'll be in. I said, all right, I'll see what I can do. So the first thing that I did is I called my title company and I said, can you do this? And because there's certain things that if you can't get done, I would be really leery about trying to make this happen. And they said, no, they couldn't make it happen. And we had to have a little more detailed conversation. And then they said, all right, we'll try to make it happen. And so one of the things that I needed right away was I needed a PR, a preliminary title report. When you're dealing with people in default, you're not always sure exactly what's on that title report, right? I mean, there could be other liens, judgments, things that have slipped the seller's mind. I mean, I've had people forget that they had a loan modification on their property for, you know, a large amount of money.
Right.
So I would not be willing to go forward without that PR. If I couldn't see what was actually on this property, I would not have gone forward. And then the question became, can you actually get this closed? And at this point, I didn't even know the seller didn't live in Boise, right? So when I found that out, that made it basically impossible to close in that time frame, because now the title company is going to have to email docs, right? Or yeah, overnight docs, and then he's got to sign and notarize and then overnight back. There was just not enough time to get that done, but I didn't even know this yet. And again, questions you should probably ask up front when you're getting into this kind of deal.
Right.
Well, the next part that I had to do was I had to get, and here's the other part that is a deal breaker, right? Is that we need to get a reinstatement and a payoff from the bank, from the mortgage holder. Uh-huh. There were 2 mortgages. And if you've ever dealt with a notice of default, these are not quick. They take their time. And that's even if you can get a hold of someone.
Right.
There's no guarantee that you can. And so I spent the whole next day trying to, I got an authorization from him, but there was no way that I could send in the authorization, get it in their system, be able to call them back, and then get this reinstatement and payoff ordered. I asked him to do it, but he didn't have the same urgency that I had, right? The urgency is, look, if I don't get this like today, latest like tomorrow morning, this deal's dead. And so it turned out there was two mortgages, right? I think don't quote me exactly on these numbers, that they're roundabout. I think the payoff on the first was around 134 something like that. Okay. And reinstatement was about 15,000. And then there was a second for about 24,000. Now, normally what I would like to do is I would like to contact the second and discount them down to, you know, pennies on the dollar. And what I would try to do is get it satisfied for the seller, which means the seller no longer has any debt. It's been extinguished. There's no more consequences with it. If I'm unable to get it satisfied, then I may get it released, in which case the bank can still pursue him for any kind of deficiency, or they can file a 1099 or 8 with the IRS for forgiveness of debt. They still have some things that they can do. But I didn't have any time, right? There was no time to get this done. And I got so lucky. The bank actually sent the seller an offer in October that he would take $4,900 as a one-time payment for the $24,000. They weren't going to satisfy it, but they were willing to do that, and he was willing to allow that to happen. So we already had the second done now, right? So all we really needed to do was get that money to them prior to the sale, and that would be done. We'd have to wait on them giving us the release, like the acceptance of it, but we had it in writing. Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So now the big issue is, can we get the payoff and the reinstatement on the first? So we called the bank. We were having zero luck. And so
it was you and the seller calling?
Yeah, both. Yeah.
Okay.
Which isn't a great idea, because I was pretending to be the seller. And I called the seller and I said, I need your date of birth. I need your social security number. I need your current address. I said, I think those are all the questions that I might be asked.
And your first pet's name.
So I got on the phone with the bank, and I was calling the bank, and it had this whole automated system. And they said, we use voice recognition to determine if you are the borrower. And I'm like, that's a problem. I never encountered it. So I think it was just bullshit. It worried me a little bit. And I'll tell you a funny story. I actually ended up talking to the second mortgage holder the next day. And apparently it's the same lady that he had talked to like the day before. And he hadn't mentioned it to me. And I'm asking for all this stuff. And she's like, well, I talked to you yesterday. Do you not remember? And I'm like, there's so much going on right now. I really don't remember. Can you remind me? I don't remember talking to you. And so that was kind of amusing. But so I called the trustee. That's the attorney that is foreclosing. The bank kept routing me to a personal representative that was handling this account. And it just kept going to the voicemail. And they said, you know, we'll get back to you in 24, 48 hours. And I'm like, you don't have 24, 48 hours.
Right.
And I couldn't get routed anywhere else. And so I decided I'm just going to call the trustee, the attorney. And again, I must have been on hold for 45 minutes, and finally got a hold of someone. Said, look, I've got to get, and again, remember, I'm pretending to be the owner. And I said, I need a reinstatement. I need a payoff. My sale's on Monday. Unless you're planning on canceling it or postponing it, I need this. You know, I've raised the money to bring this loan current, and I need this immediately. And they said, well, it's not really up to us. We've got to go back to the bank and get it from them. And, you know, it could take several days. And I said, okay, I want you to put in the notes that if I don't get my payoff and reinstatement within the next 24 hours, I'm going to file a lawsuit against you and the bank for foreclosing on my house when all I've asked for is what I'm entitled to, which is what I owe you and what I need to pay to reinstate this loan. Wow. I don't know if that helped, but like 12 hours later, we got it. Okay. So now I've got to deal with the title company. They got the PR done in record time. So we had the PR the next day and it was clear. So now I've gotten the second taken care of. I've got at least a game plan on the first, right? I can stop this sale if I want. Now the problem is what do I do? Because I can't get any signed documents prior to this sale. So I went back to the seller and I told them, I've got a problem. Yeah, you're out of state. There's no way that we're going to get these documents signed. And I can stop this sale and I can finish the sale after the sale date, but I need your cooperation. And I'm putting myself at risk. And I'm just, I want to know from you, if I do this, are you going to be a man of your word and not screw me on this? And he said, yes. And I said, well, just as a disclaimer, I want you to know, if you did, I would tie this property up forever. And the 20 grand that I've promised to give you, you won't get, and you will never get one penny from this property. I said, are we clear? And he's like, we're clear. So I actually sent the money like Friday at the wire cutoff time to the trustee to reinstate the loan. Now I needed confirmation, right? Because the last thing I want, especially at the end of, you know, when we're reinstating a loan and the property is going to foreclosure like soon thereafter, the last thing I want is for them to not have that in their system and still sell it at auction. Uh-huh. I mean, now it becomes really messy. And so I called the trustee again. I'm like, look, I wired money. You know, well, it's not in our system. I'm like, so what do we do? Are you going to cancel the sale? Well, we can't cancel the sale until we actually have the wire. And so you'll have to call back. We open at 8 a.m. Pacific time or whatever it was. And I'm like, what time is the sale set for? It's like, I think it was 9 a.m. Pacific time. So, yeah, are you kidding me? So I started calling that Monday morning and they were not open. They did not, the phones wouldn't even connect until 8:30 Pacific time. And finally got a hold of someone. They said, yes, it's in our system. We've canceled it. All right, good.
So did you have to wire the amount of the first?
I wired 15, it was just under $15,000.
Oh, just for the reinstate. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the monthly payment is, it's like $885. This could have been a decent rental. I should go back. So this property is out of state. You know, I don't want to buy it without having some eyes on it. Now, I don't know what kind of condition it's in. So on Friday, so sales on Monday, you know, I've just got the reinstatement, the payoff. Now I've got to get someone over there to show me what kind of shape it's in. And so I called another investor friend of mine that lives in the Boise area, and he was out of town, but he's like, I can send, you know, my assistant over there. And then I thought, hey, why don't I go back to the people that brought this deal to me and get them to go over there? So I had them both go over and they did a FaceTime with me. So, you know, they could walk the property and I could see it. The property was in good condition, rental condition now, rent ready. newer carpet. It had been painted. The kitchen was dated. The yard was dead, but minor stuff. And if I was going to rehab it, it would be pretty, you know, the walls were all white, so I'd probably change the color. I would redo the kitchen completely. The bathroom was fairly good. Didn't need anything. The yard would need some work. You know, 15, 20 grand, really, I could have remodeled this property. And so now I was okay. But, you know, I had to see, you know, I'm not wiring my money and not having a contract on this house to find out this house is a piece of crap and I don't even want it.
So you did that prior to wiring the money and signing the contract? Okay. But you had the contract in place before you wired the money, correct?
I had a purchase and sale agreement in place, and I was ready to file a notice of interest on the property. My hope was is that we would literally have the docs out on Monday and signed and everything by Tuesday, and you know, by the time I got the notice of interest even on the property, we'd already have documents in place. That did not happen. So in retrospect, I probably should have filed that notice of interest to just protect myself, but I made it clear that I was going to. So maybe that was enough to, I don't know that the seller was looking to do anything. I think he was just happy that I was willing to try to get this done for him. But going back, if you, one, I don't recommend that you pay to reinstate a loan when you
afford closing.
I was not the owner. I really, all I had was a purchase and sale agreement, and there was definitely some risk there, and I knew that. I knew what I was getting myself into risk-wise.
Yeah, because you could have reinstated the loan, and then he's like, I'm not going to sell my property.
Right. Yeah. Now
I'm going to rent it out.
I'm good.
Whatever.
That's right.
And then you would have had to go file a notice of interest and reference your purchase and sell agreement. And then, I mean, your money could have been tied up for years and years and years, really.
Or he could have, you know, on Monday when he realized that we weren't closing, he could have just found another buyer and gone and sold it for more money now that it's reinstated. And
it's true.
So there were a number of things that could have happened that were not in my favor.
So in retrospect, you're saying what you would have done is you would have filed a notice of interest immediately and then wired the 15K so that...
I don't know if... Well, that, it would have been... I don't know if that notice of interest would have gotten filed before wiring, but it certainly could have been filed like that Monday, the day of the sale. I don't really think he... One, we didn't even have confirmation that they had the wire until Monday morning. So I don't think he was like going to actively try to do something over the weekend. So, but Monday I should have had that notice of interest filed.
Okay. Yeah.
And notice of interest, depending on where you are, it might be memorandum of contract or it has a number of different terms for it. What it does is cloud the title. So if someone was going to try to get title insurance, the title company would find it and would contact you to try to clear the title.
Right.
So now I've actually stopped the sale. So that, you know, no more serious urgency. I have not at this point sent my $5,000 in for the second. And the reason that I didn't do that is I wanted to make sure I could get all this done without risking any more money. So at this point now we sent the $5,000 in to take care of the second. Well, here's what I quickly found out. They decided that yes, they'll accept the $5,000 as payment. However, they will not give you a release for 10 business days. And so now I can't actually sell the property, for 10 business days. I've got to just kind of sit and wait. And my title company had a problem with it because they need that release so we can complete the sale. And so now all of a sudden, and this is right around Christmas, right? So now I got to deal with the Christmas holiday, and my escrow officer was off a couple of days. And then we had to deal with New Year's Day, and she was off a couple of days with that. And so what I decided, I could have, so but let's talk some numbers, why I would do this, because our normal wholesale fee is around $16,000. And if I was going to make a normal wholesale fee on this, I would not have done it. I already knew how much work it would be, and it's not worth it to me. And the risk wouldn't have been worth it to me. But this property is worth at least $280,000. And I ended up buying it total, paying the seller, reinstating the loan, paying off the second for $163,000.
Nice.
And so I started thinking, what do I want to do with this property? It would be an easy rehab, or I could probably just go put it on the market and wholetail it. Or I could wholesale it. And both people that went and saw it wanted it. And I kind of felt guilty because the people that brought it to me wanted it. And so I decided I will sell it to them and I will give them a good deal, because they brought me the deal. Then, you know, they weren't making any money from it at this point. So I would just sell it to them as long as they would get this done quickly. Well, it is now the 4th of January. I just signed. So I've owned the property now for, I think I signed docs, I think it was right before the 1st of the year. And now, yesterday, I just signed docs to sell the property. So we will close. Today's a Saturday. We are closing and funding on Monday. But it'll end up being, you know, pretty close to a $40,000 assignment fee. I earned every penny of that, I must say.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But if you think about it, what I did is I bought it subject to both mortgages.
Yep.
I agreed to give the seller $20,000. And again, if I would have known that there was a trustee sale in, you know, 5 days from the time that I talked to him, I wouldn't have offered $20,000. But $20,000 still worked fine with these numbers. But yeah, to get $20,000 when you've got out of options. So the seller should have been absolutely thrilled, and took it subject to. I now own the property, and now I am selling it to someone who will cash me out. And I even had people offer me, hey, we could do a joint venture. I'll pay you back all the money you've got into it, and then I'll rehab it and we'll split the profits. I'm like, nah, I could have made probably $75,000 on this deal if I wanted to go forward with it in some way or another. But I thought the right thing was to, if they wanted it and we could come to terms that I thought were fair, I'd sell it back to the people that brought it to me. But kind of start to finish, and even as we're doing this, it's not quite finished, but Monday should be, all the docs have been overnighted. They'll be back in the office. We have the release from the second mortgage. We just got it. So that prevented me from selling it. So we're all clear, and so it should fund on Monday.
So you're selling it to the people that brought it to you, and are you just selling it with, I guess, you're selling it subject to as well, right?
No, I am not. So one of the things, so I'm basically working, I should probably go into this because this is a little creative too. So remember, I work with the parents, right? They're part of my apprentice program. Uh-huh. But this is their kids that are buying the property. Well, their kids have no idea what it means to, wholesale a deal, or, the only real estate they've ever been a part of is the conventional financing. And so initially they were like, well, we want to go get a loan. I'm like, no, you're going to have to borrow the money, hard money, and then you're going to have to refinance the property or else I can't do this. Remember, I've got about $40,000 tied up in this property.
Right.
And I don't like keeping money in properties. And so I want that money back out. And I told them, if you can do this quickly, then I'm willing to do this. Otherwise, if I'm going to wait for you to go get a loan, I'm going to charge you $25,000 more. And you'd still be getting a deal, but it's nowhere near the deal. And they're still having a hard time because they were trying to get it for, even less than what I ended up getting for. I think they were trying to get it for like 148 or something like that. So a bit of a problem. But their parents came in and said, yeah, we'll help get the hard money lined up. And then I found out that the next day that we put it under contract, that the kids were going on vacation to Hawaii for a week. And now my escrow officer is like, Jeff, maybe we should just plan the closing to be like the 10th, when, because if we got to send docs to Hawaii overnights, two nights, and I'm like, no, that is unacceptable. No. So I went back to the parents and I'm like, you need to be power of attorney. You need to be able to sign all of these docs on behalf of your kids, and you need to complete this sale. I lined up the hard money. I put them in touch with a hard money lender, and now it should be done. But yeah, can you see all the potential issues here? I mean, this isn't a terrible issue because, I mean, in reality, I could have waited, 3, 4, 5 more days to get this done. I just don't want to. I had to scramble. I had to take all this risk. It's like, well, if you guys want this deal, then you've got to move quickly too, because otherwise I can do something else with this problem. Yep.
Yeah, you already put in the work on your end to make it happen. And so they need to do the same, or otherwise you'll just go sell it for more.
Right. So really the reason that I wanted to do this as an episode one is kind of start to finish all the potential issues and pitfalls that you've got to deal with. But again, notices of default are like the most competitive list out there, right? I mean, these people are getting hounded by investors, bankruptcy attorneys, collection companies. They're getting a ton of direct mail. They're probably getting phone calls. They're getting ringless voicemails, texts, but everything.
Yeah.
And here we were 5 days before the sale, and I just called him up. I don't think he was working with anyone.
Interesting.
Yeah. Even on Zillow, it said hot deal alert. Seriously? So it was a subject to deal. I actually did discount the second, not quite the way that I normally do it. They saved me on that one, because this deal becomes much different if I had to just pay them off. And so it's certainly a creative financing deal, but I wanted to kind of go through it from start to finish, because not all deals are like, hey, super straightforward and easy. Actually, most of them are not, as you know, Jonathan.
Yeah.
And it's really, if you want to get involved with a notice of default just a few days before the sale, I mean, you are going to have to scramble and you may have to take some risk.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did all of that. I was going to say the one deal I bought subject to, I put the deal under contract and then there was a notice of default filed on the property, you know, a couple days later. Once that notice of default was filed, there was, I don't know, 8 or 10 or 12 people that came and knocked on the door of the house, and the seller was still living there.
Yeah.
And so she's like, "Hey, these guys are offering me more money." And then I don't even know how many phone calls she got, but she got a ton of phone calls. So yeah, it's very competitive, especially when that notice of default hits. Lucky for me, I just happened to reach the seller before that happened. And, you know, at the time I put it under contract, I didn't even know that they were behind on payments and that there was, you know, a pending notice of default coming. But,
and one of the things that I like to do,
depending on that,
I'm sorry, say that again.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things I like to do, you know, obviously notices of default can, the profit margins can be pretty good on notices of default. You can find yourself some good deals. I don't love getting involved in once that notice of default gets filed. You are dealing a lot in that denial stage at that point, plus all the competition. You're just one of, you know, who knows how many people, 30, 40, 50, maybe more. So I try to wait till I see a sale date. And, you know, obviously I would like more than 2 days, you know, or, you know, 5 days with a weekend involved. I would like a week to 2 weeks before the sale. 2 weeks is totally fine.
Yeah.
A week will still put some pressure on you. But now, if they haven't done something, now they are typically more willing to have a conversation and get something done. And you can have a really straightforward conversation at that point because, hey, if the only way that you're staying in your house much longer is a bankruptcy. And I don't want to see you lose your house and not get any money for it. I'm willing to figure out a way to get this resolved for you and get you some money so you can at least start over somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That's at that point for the seller, like if you can just offer them any kind of money, like they're about to lose their house and you know, their credit and, you know, the IRS may come back for the forgiveness of debt. So, I mean, they have everything to lose, right? So if you say, hey, we can just wash all that away and give you, I mean, even $5,000, like what would you have negotiated had you known that that sale was pending?
So he was asking for 20 and I probably would have said, hey, I could have done 8, 7, 8, 10, somewhere in that range. I definitely wouldn't have started at 20. And if he had like some negotiation, I would say, look, you've got no leverage. To be honest, you should be happy if I'm giving you any money, because if it does go to sale, you get zero. Not only do you get zero, your credit's ruined. Maybe that doesn't matter to you, but think about this. They're going to file, and they are going to file this. The second's going to file forgiveness of debt with the IRS. So he is not free and clear of this whole thing, but he is free and clear of the bigger one. This one will be the smaller one. Anytime that there's a short sale or foreclosure, the banks are going to file a 1099 or 8, I can't remember what it is, a forgiveness of debt. And basically it becomes a tax consequence to the seller. And now you have the IRS chasing you down. And, you know, it's one thing to have a collection agency calling and harassing you all the time. It's a whole nother one when it's the IRS. They don't, you know, they'll come after your bank account. They'll come after, garnish your wages. That they've got a long arm.
And
at the very least, it's like, look, maybe you don't care about your credit. Maybe you don't care about, you know, money, but you should care about this because, you know, once this nightmare is over, it's not over. And so, you know, I can't pay you 20, but I can pay you 7 and, you know, we can get this done in the next few days. That's the kind of straightforward conversation that you can have when you're that close to sale date.
Well, one takeaway that I got from this, Jeff, is you asked him up front. You said, hey, I have to put in a lot of work. I need to know that you're going to be committed. Either you're in or you're out. And if you're out, I'm not even going to waste my time. And I think that just establishing that up front with the seller is huge, because you have to get their commitment, especially if there's that much time crunch. I mean, that's crazy to get a deal done that fast. That blows me away. But I love the fact that you asked that question. Like, are you committed to this as I am? Like, I will help you solve this problem. I need your commitment.
It's funny. I have another lead, and I will call on today, and it's a similar situation. She has a sale date on the 17th. Of January. Today is the 4th.
Right. And a little more time on that one.
What's that? Yeah, I do have a little more time. Someone else brought this to me, but here's why I haven't even called her yet, is that, so it's listed, and so I want to know, one, can she get out of her listing? Because the listing agent's not going to do anything in this case. And two, when the guy that brought this lead to me talked to her, she said, I wanted $50,000, you know, of her equity. Well, there's no way she's getting $50,000. And he said, I don't think I can give you 50, but I could give you 30. Well, there's no way I can give 30. I might be able to give 5, maybe. And so I waited a little bit, because at the very least, what I'll tell her is, look, maybe I can be your last resort. If you don't like what I'm offering, then I'll be your last resort. But here's the deadline date. If I don't hear from you by the 10th of January, this offer is gone. It's not that I'm trying to lowball her. I just don't think the value of the property is, you know, and the condition of it and the value, it's not that good of a deal. And it's listed right now, and it hasn't sold. I am not your retail buyer. I'm not coming in and offering you the most. I'm your savior. I'm the one that's going to save you. And maybe I'm not, you're getting 45 grand less than what you want. But again, we're going to have this conversation that something's better than nothing, and you want to avoid the IRS.
Right. Yep. And it's good to give that one a little more time, because it's like, there's no way they're going to find a retail buyer.
Even right now, if they found a buyer on the MLS, they're not closing. They don't have enough time.
No way. Yeah. No way. Cool. Well, so on that last deal, Jeff, you were into it 160, 162 or
163. I'm selling the property for
205. Nice. Yeah. Awesome. So the parents brought in hard money, or the kids or whatever. Yep. They brought in hard money. And then are they planning just to refi that property in 6 months?
Yep. They're going to they'll probably try to refi it immediately. And
as long as there's no season of title required.
Yeah. They'll have to go find that lender that doesn't care about that. But if you think about it, and I think they are going to, I think ultimately they're going to move into it, but they just signed a lease. So they're tied up for like 5 months. So they should go get an owner occupied loan. And if they did it as a refinance, they should be able to avoid any mortgage insurance. I mean, it will end up being that they will be thrilled if this is the only investment in real estate that they ever make. They're basically going to end up with, you know, $80,000 in equity in one of the hottest markets in the country.
Yeah, that's a great deal for them.
Yeah.
Great deal for you. It's a great deal for the seller. Like, how lucky is this seller, right? I mean, to get 20 grand off this property, and it was going to be foreclosed on in 2 days. That's nuts.
Well, and I would tell you, you know, not to toot my own horn, but very few investors would have gotten this done.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I don't know that. I don't know that I could have got that done that fast. That was,
it was not easy. And again, I had to take some risk, and I don't know if everyone would have taken that risk. And I don't know if, I don't even know if most people could have gotten that payoff and reinstatement, to be honest.
I can tell you that I wouldn't have taken the risk without having any security in place. That would have killed the deal for me. I would have been like, well, there's nothing I can do. Because that, I mean, yeah, it's, if you, I guess you kind of have to go by gut at that point, you know.
At that point, I had done a lot of work. So I had gotten the reinstatement and payoff, and I got the PR, things that I didn't know I could even get to this point. I'd seen the property. At this point, I'm like, all right, I've got to roll the dice here. So
Yeah. You're at that point where you put in so much work that it's just, you know, you weighed the risk versus just the reward, and you went with it.
One of the things that's
awesome.
Always one thing that's always a concern is that you're going to go, seriously, you're going to spend most of all your time, 48 hours, trying to get this deal done. And the last thing you don't want to do is get toward, you know, the deadline and it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't want to spend all that time and effort and it not happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had no reassurance that it was going to happen in that.
Literally the title company told me no. When I said, can you make this happen? They said, no. I said, let's talk about this because I do think we can make this happen. And
that's awesome.
I talked her into it. So.
Yeah. Well, cool. I hope our listeners has gained some value out of this episode, kind of in the process of, you know, the steps you need to take if you find one of these deals where there's a trustee sale pending, and kind of what you did to be creative in it, and you know, just the hustle involved, really. I mean, because you hustled on that one. So, guys, we're going to wrap this up right here then. If you want to reach us, you can do so on our hotline. You can leave us questions, comments there. If there's a topic you'd like to learn more about, give us a call. Our hotline number is 877-409-8090. You can also text CFP or Creative Financing to that number to get the link for the special access to the video that Jeff created on making these creative offers step-by-step. Really well done video. You can see his letter of intent on that video. There's been a lot of people asking for that. So really good video to get. And, you know, he walks you through the numbers, the offers, and then his exit strategy. So again, text CFP or Creative Financing to 877-409-8090. Get that link, or you can leave us a question or comment. Or if you're interested in becoming one of Jeff's apprentices and either, you know, here locally where he's at or the markets he's working in, or
Even matter where you are. I figured out a way to make it work for everyone now.
Yeah, you can call that number and just mention that you're interested in his apprenticeship program specifically, and he'll give you a call back. And I know some people call in and they expect a call back immediately, but that's not going to happen. We're all busy here. So.
There is one person I actually went through, and there's one person that's kind of slipped through the cracks, and he's called twice. I will actually call him today and make it right. But everyone else, I have at least attempted to call and left a message. So, yeah,
fair enough. Okay, guys. You can reach us also on Facebook, the Creative Financing Podcast. You can DM us there if you want to get a hold of us for anything. And then we're on the web at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. That's where all of our episodes are. In every one of our show notes, there's also a link to get that video as well. So you can go there and find that. Any last words, Jeff?
Yeah, I wanted to add one last thing. One is that I would love for our listeners to start sending in deals to be evaluated. So either stuff that we can help them get through, and I'll call them and work through it, but then I'll use it on the show as an example. Or maybe it's something that, hey, nothing happened with it and you're wondering what could have been potentially done with it. Or, hey, I bought it, but I'm wondering what some of the other options may be. I would love to get some people's deals from all over the country that we can evaluate. Yes, you hear about all my deals, but I'd like to hear about their deals. I'd like to see if we can help them.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Jeff. I love that. So guys, if you have a deal out there that you're working on currently, and you may need some help on, or you're just wondering what you could do in the way of using creative financing, give us a call on our hotline, leave us the details there, and Jeff will give you a call back and offer some help if he can, and we'll present that deal on the show and do an evaluation of that deal in real time.
Perfect.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.